Hello everyone, my name is Anthony Crudelli from the eMini Exchange and welcome to Futures Radio sponsored by CME Group. I want to thank CME Group for this opportunity. It's been something I've wanted to do for a long time, host a show about futures trading for futures traders. I mean, what's better than that? I've been wanting to do this really ever since I left the pit because I want to bring camaraderie back to the futures industry. I mean, I miss the camaraderie that I'd once had when I was on the floor, and now I'm using Futures Radio to bring it back. This week's show is a special one because it's our first show. So in this week's show, I wanted to lay out a few things for you. Who I am, what I've done in the industry, and also what to expect in future shows. Now let's begin with who I am. It all started back in 1995, as I had just come back from a three-month course in Florida where I learned about the travel and tourism industry. Now, I wanted to work in business or in travel, so I decided to take a course first to see how the travel industry was, and of course I took it in Florida. It turned out that I really liked it, and I actually applied for an internship immediately out of the course with American Express Travel to help pay my way through college. I got hired by them to work, and then they would help me pay for college. Well, a couple weeks after I got home from Florida, back in Chicago, I got in a really bad car accident. Fractured my femur and was in the hospital for a good deal of time. Got out of the hospital and started rehab. This was a big problem because I was just getting ready to go back to Florida and start school. And the doctor told me that's just not going to happen. So I couldn't afford school in Chicago, so I decided to look for a job. I found the job in the paper for a runner. I figured it would be a good job because I'd be strengthening my leg, as I obviously had no idea what a runner was. I actually just found it in the paper and said, well, runner, okay, let me see what this is about. I also liked math in high school. I found out it was in the trading floor. I figured it'd be exciting. So I went down to the Merck and applied with a company called Lynn Wadbach. Got the job, and away I went. Really never looked back. I loved it. I mean, what's not to love? I mean, great people, great hours, and of course, the opportunity to make great money. So I worked for Lynn Wadbach and Refco as a runner in the meets. It lasted, I don't know, maybe about 6 months. Then I took an opportunity to work as a clerk in the Eurodollar options. I worked for a company called MPM Trading. I spent a year with them. I learned a lot about options, and this is basically where I started to learn about charting as well. You know, I had to learn how to use charts to give our brokers data, delta, gamma, and all those things that they were requesting from me. So I learned a lot about, you know, operating charts, you know, just getting a feel for them and just being able to retrieve information about from charts. And this is when I really fell in love with technical analysis. I fell in love with technical analysis, but I didn't really love the option side of it. You know, I was always being able to use their charts to pull up things for those traders and for our brokers. But the options pit was so quiet, unlike the futures pit. I mean, I really found myself a lot of times watching the futures traders a lot as they were constantly screaming at each other. And it's just very appealing to me. It seemed very exciting. I mean, who didn't want to be a part of that action? So another story for you. You know, I was at a wedding about 12 months into my job at MPM Trading, and I ran into a friend who introduced me to Uncle Tony. Now, it was a, you know, Italian Irish wedding. Everyone had had a few cocktails. So Uncle Tony had started to talk to me about his nephew and how he was a big shot at the Merck and I needed to look him up. He grabs one of the servers, gets a piece of paper, and writes down the name Carmen Paolo. I was pumped up. I was like, this for sure could be the big break for me. Maybe now I can get a possible connection to get into the futures pits. So I immediately go to the front desk on Monday morning. I remember it like it was yesterday. I couldn't wait. I went up to the girl and I said, excuse me, could you please look up Carmen Paolo? Gave her the piece of paper. Turned around. She started typing it up. She told me, not a member, sir. I can't find him. I can't find this name. I said, how's that possible? Look again. Look, she's like, no, it's just not there. I'm like, wow. He said he was a big shot. He said he was at the Merck. And I thought about it. I know Uncle Tony maybe had a few cocktails, but the name was right. I said he's probably confused the Merck with the Board of Trade. Everybody that, you know, in those days used to confuse the Board of Trade with the Merck. So, oh well, go back to the options pit until I could find a job in the futures. Now, a couple of weeks go by, and I'm having lunch in the clerk break room. It was packed, as usual. In the mid-90s, the Merc was packed from front to back, in the pits, in the break rooms, everywhere you went, there was people. So I sat down at a table, and I started eating my lunch. Now, across from me was another guy who actually looked like he could be my brother, and I just glance at his badge, and I sit there, and I look at it, I go, wouldn't you believe this? Wouldn't you know this? His name was Carmen Paulo. I said, Carmen, you don't know me, but I know your Uncle Tony. He just starts laughing. I started laughing too. He ended up being a clerk just like me, except Carmen was a clerk in the S&P options. I told Carmen that Uncle told me that Uncle Tony told me that you were a big shot, and then we had laughed. And we exchanged numbers. A week later, Carmen calls me. Says, Anthony, I have an opportunity for you. My friends just became members in the S&P pit, and I'm going to need help checking their trades. Would you be interested? I'm like, of course I'd be interested. I was so pumped up. I said, you know what? When can I come and meet these guys? He says, come down tomorrow morning. We'll introduce you to them. Well, I go down there. I meet David Morton, Vince DiAgostino, and Ryan Fleming. And of course, the second I walked into the S&P pit, as they were in there, because I came in there after the morning trade, when they were, it slowed down a little bit, getting yelled at, people telling me to move, cards flying around. Compared to where I just was in the S&P options, or actually the Eurodollar options, up there it was just like, you might as well be in church compared to what it was like to be in the S&P pit. And I knew this was the place for me. I was thinking to myself, I hope these guys please hire me. Well, they did. I started to work for them almost immediately. A few months into the job, I actually picked up another trader. His name was Louis Lauder. Now, Louis was forced to hire me, actually. The clearing firm we had been with at the time had just picked up Lou, and he was known to have on big positions, wild swings. So they had asked me if I would work for him and report directly to the higher-ups and make sure that all of his cards were turned in and so on and so forth. So I took the job. Of course, it was a paycheck for me. What I care, I was trying to make money so I could become a trader. Working for David, Vince, and Flem, learning from them, but they were so busy, and they were scalping, and they were just, it was just very hard to learn to know what they were doing. Had my head in the cards all day long. But the first couple months I had worked for Lou, I was noticing, I would be sitting there, I'd be checking his trades, I'd be doing his money at the end of the day, and I'd be like, he is up 10, 15, 20, 40,000 almost every day. I'm like, this guy is just knocking it out of the park. I mean, how is he doing this? Now, I know it was 1997. The pits were super busy, but he was still doing better than all of my other traders I was working for, and probably most of the other traders in the pit. So one day, I started talking with Lou a little bit more. We had really didn't speak too much because obviously he was forced to hire me. I'm not sure he was too happy about that. And I just did my job and, I left. But cornered him one day. I said, Lou, listen, I would love to learn what you know. Would you be willing to sit down with me and just teach me a few things whenever you get a chance? Sure, no problem. Okay. He's like, but don't bother me right now. We'll talk after the close. Okay, fine. I'll never forget that day. Never forget that time that I spent the next 6 to 12 months picking Lou's brain. I would take every card of his, pretend like it was my position. And, this is where I learned about relationships in the market. Lou had taught me how to look at the market as a whole instead of looking at just one market. He told me that is why the S&P is his favorite market to trade, and he believed the best market to trade, because of the relationships with other markets. Now, this was a guy, Lou, who rarely, if ever, looked at a chart. And I thought that was really impressive that he had that understanding. He developed that knowledge from not really seeing it on paper. So I started to take his understanding of the markets and develop my own system by looking at charts. Remember, I had come from the Eurodollar options. I was on the charts every day. Now, when I was in the S&P, I was just checking trades. The only reason I had to go to the charts was for my own personal stuff. So I would see what Lou was doing. I would be marking it down on charts, seeing his reasoning, learning what he called the relationships. But I was putting it on paper and on the screen instead of just visually, putting it in my mind the way that Lou had done. And this was really my own education. This is how I was learning how to trade. I mean, this is what I had been waiting for. Now that I felt I was getting a really good understanding of, after being with Lou a little over a year, and obviously being with my other traders as well, I was ready to trade. Now, I was 20 years old, just about turning 21, filled out the paperwork, and I started to trade in March of 1999. Now, it was a very bumpy start for me. I would go look at the charts in the morning and then stand in the S&P pit and try to execute. I could barely stand in there. Imagine March of 1999, what it was like. I mean, it was so busy and I struggled. You would think that during a time where the markets were flying around, a new trader would just go in there and do well. Well, I didn't. I struggled because I had a philosophy of a technical trader trying to and execute that philosophy in the pit. And I was burning through a little bit of money because I would get in a trade and then I'd panic. By the time I was getting hit, I'd be looking to get right out. And so I asked Lou for a sit down. I said, "Lou, I need some help." I told him that I needed, maybe a little bit more capital. And I wanted to trade a new product called the E-mini S&P. Maybe some of you have heard of it. And at the time, the E-mini was really frowned upon by other traders in the pit, obviously, because they knew what was going on. They were creating a new product, that mirrored off of the pit. Inevitably, that was probably where it was going to go. So nobody really supported traders going to trade the E-mini. And at the time I had just started, the volume was extremely low. I mean, if I remember, 8 to 10,000 contracts when I would first sit there and look at the E-mini a day. That's how little it was. And I went to the Globex guys on the floor and asked them about possibly getting access to my own terminal. Now, the reason I had asked them that, or probably wondering why would you even need to ask them? Weren't there just terminals everywhere? No, there weren't. There's only a few terminals on the floor for the E-mini, and if they were taken, you couldn't trade that day, or at least until somebody logged out. Now, I imagine this is the time where they had just launched this product. And I had to log into a machine after somebody had already logged out. It's just crazy to see how far we've come. I know that so many new traders coming into the marketplace today, it's like you're trading on your laptop or whatever. At the time, there wasn't a lot of access to trading the E-mini at that point. So Globex guys helped me set up a terminal. I was one of maybe 10 other guys on the floor around me at the time had a terminal. And then this is really where my journey began. I started to live on the charts night and day. I went through a lot of ups and downs, but it was all worth it. About 3 years into my career, I really started to come up with a complete trading plan from my preparation to my anticipation and then my execution. I learned how to trade from pit guys with a pit mentality, but I was now becoming an electronic trader, and this is just all new ground coming because as I was learning, the E-mini was growing and growing and growing, volume and volatility was growing. So I was, learning on, the job basically. And once again, pit trader mentality, but an electronic trader using technical analysis. And it took me some time to finally put it all together. And I used my pit trader skills, which I didn't have a lot of skills from actually trading in the pit. I'd be the first to admit that. But I learned a lot from seeing what other successful traders were doing. I was watching the other pros and saying, okay, I understand why they're doing that. So those skills that I had learned were really skills that I had never really done in the pit, but I had actually understood them. And it was easy for me to do that on the screen because it wasn't like I was held by a broker or another trader trading with me. And with my technical skills, I mean, things really started to take off for me. I ended up buying a seat, I ended up owning a seat, which was huge for me and for anybody for that matter. A huge accomplishment. I had several years in six figures and even some seven figures, all by trading the E-mini S&P. Now, along the way, I became very good at learning how technical analysis worked, and I really saw it transform from the beginning of the E-mini and how it's evolved over the years. So along that time, I created my own indicator, and I still use it to this day. I've been using it for over a decade. I use it in our trading rooms, and obviously other traders can access it on NinjaTrader or TradeStation as we have relationships with those companies. Now, I want to talk about what the show will be like going forward. It is a weekly show that's going to have two parts. The first part will be myself and a guest, where we talk about anything from technical analysis, fundamentals, regulation, tax advantages, or any story that is currently headlining in the futures industry. If you, the listener, has a question about a topic for that week, if you have a question about maybe something that we're not talking about that week, but that you want us to talk about, please ask. This is what I mean by bringing camaraderie back to the futures industry. I'll be putting out a weekly email that tells you who the guest is and what topics we'll be talking about that particular week. That's why it's important that you go to our website, eminiexchange.com. You're going to see the banner ad right on top. Click on that or go to Futures Radio. Get on our email list. This way you'll know who our guest is and what topics we'll be covering. Now, you can also follow along with Twitter and StockTwits at Anthony Crudelli and use the hashtag Futures Radio to ask your questions or to make any comments. Now, I want to give you an example as to, you know, what a show would be like. So in the coming week, we have an FOMC meeting. And so we'll bring on a guest that is maybe a professional 10-year or 30-year trader. And we're going to talk about maybe the technicals in the 10-year and how the bond market has responded to prior FOMC meetings and maybe what we can look for this upcoming FOMC meeting. And then maybe I'll step in and compare that to, well, maybe what's happening in the E-mini S&P, the prior meetings, and what to look for as well. What we want to accomplish is what's happening in the market, bring on other guests that are maybe a specialty in that area, and have myself and them have a real discussion about trading the futures markets. And just talk about current topics, bringing camaraderie back. I mean, this is what we used to do all the time in the break rooms. Well, I talked to a bond trader, I talked to a grain trader, I've talked to a meat trader, I had access to all these different guys that maybe I didn't trade those products, but I would love to ask them a question. And to see maybe, you know, I love talking to the bond guys when there's FOMC meetings. And these are the types of things we're going to be doing going forward in part one of the show. Now, part two of the show will be my weekly market commentary, where I specifically talk about what I will be looking for in next week's market. Primarily, I trade the E-mini S&P. I'll talk about E-mini NASDAQ. I'll talk about mini Dow. I'll even talk about 10-year euro currency and crude. Now, if there's a different market that you'd like for me to maybe comment on, this is why I say send us an email, send a question, hashtag Futures Radio on Twitter. Now, part one is going to be audio only. Now, part two, where I do my weekly market commentary, there's going to be a video there as well. This way, you could watch my screen and you're going to be able to look at my charts, see what I'm looking at for my weekly market commentary. Now, all of this that I'm doing with Futures Radio is to bring camaraderie back to the futures industry. I keep saying that word, camaraderie, because let's face it, the futures industry has probably grown more over the last decade than probably in the prior 50 years due to computer trading. I mean, now that the pits are pretty much a thing of the past, traders have more access to executing futures, but less access to understanding futures. And I'm going to change that with Futures Radio. By giving traders of all levels the ability to send in their questions and comments on specific things happening in the markets, and also the ability to hear from other professional traders and market participants on their specialties in the futures markets. I mean, this is what I missed the most when I left the floor, having that access. So I remind you once again, it is important you sign up on our website, eminiexchange.com. Get on our email list. This way you will know ahead of time who the guest is and what topics we will be covering. Be sure to follow me on Twitter and StockTwits at Anthony Crudelli. Use the hashtag Futures Radio to ask your questions or just to make comments. Now remember, this show is for you, the trader. We want this show to be part of your routine. Whether you're new to trading or a seasoned veteran, Futures Radio is where we want you to begin your week. Now, before I let you go, remember the three words that I think about every day before I begin to trade in my machine. Preparation, anticipation, execution. Please look out for the email regarding next week's guests and topics. I look forward to hearing your questions for next week's show and your comments for this week's. Take care and trade well.